KSJD Streaming is sponsored by Osprey PAX, a Montezuma County company since 1990. Osprey PAX, pack your passion, go.
Welcome to The River Trip, a monthly show on KSJD that focuses on rivers and the issues and stories that they evoke. I'm your trip leader, Leanne Hill. I'm the program coordinator for Dolores River Boating Advocates, which is a group of conservation-oriented river enthusiasts who are working to preserve and restore the recreational and ecological values of the Dolores River. You can learn more about us at our website at DoloresRiverBoating.org and on our Facebook page. The River Trip is a place to recognize and honor river heroes. Last month, Katie Lee was on the show talking about her lifelong love for the Colorado River and Glen Canyon. Katie is 95. This month, we are paying tribute to Martin Litton, who passed away November 30th at the age of 97. Martin was also a fierce advocate of the Colorado River and successfully opposed two dams that were proposed within the Grand Canyon. Litton was a glider pilot in the Army Air Corps during World War II and had an illustrious career as a writer and reporter. He was an admirer of John Wesley Powell, whose adventures inspired Litton to build and run dories through the Grand Canyon. Litton started Grand Canyon Dories in 1969, one century after Powell's expedition through the canyon. His list of accomplishments could certainly continue, and there have been plenty of tributes and interviews about him, but I want to bring his story home here to Montezuma County. Today I have two Grand Canyon River guides in the studio. Both of these guides knew Martin Litton, worked with him, and rode with him. They both also have an intimate understanding of dories. Tim Cooper worked for Litton and Grand Canyon Dories during the renaissance of dories in the Grand Canyon in the late 70s and 80s. He also rebuilt boats for Litton in his shop in Torrey, Utah. Andy Hutchinson custom builds dories and runs dories in the Grand Canyon and was on Litton's last trip down the Grand. Welcome to the River Trip, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Tim, let's start with you. When and how did you start working for Martin Litton?
Well, I'd been in the river industry running motorboats down there, actually for the company that offers the quickest trip through Grand Canyon, 7-day trip. And we'd run across these crazy guys down there on a 22-day trip in these goofy little wooden boats, and it just seemed like that was the better way to do it. So I pestered Martin for a couple of years, and he finally gave me a chance. And this company was expanding at one point to the point where I finally got my foot in the door, and then I stayed for 13 years and never looked back.
And why do you say that looked like the better way to do it?
Well, I think running dories through Grand Canyon is more meeting the canyon on its own terms. It can't be hurried. The experience of Grand Canyon is just not possible to rush. And I think the longer that you spent down there, the more that the group gelled, the more time you had to appreciate the place, and the boats themselves were absolutely beautiful. So there was no real contest.
Well, it sounds like there was a real allure to the dories and to Martin Litton. Maybe he sounds pretty charismatic. I know that you met your wife at Grand Canyon Dories, and you say she'd been working there since she was 16. So what was it that brought people to him? Or did I get that right?
Well, to confess, you know, there's a certain amount of elitism to it because there were no other companies that were offering trips in wooden boats at that time, and nobody offering a trip anywhere near that long. And it's difficult. And it's not the easiest thing to do to navigate through Grand Canyon in a wooden boat successfully. And if you were able to say that, hey, I've done this, there's a certain amount of self-congratulatory, I guess, cachet that goes along with that. So I at least felt like you were doing the best possible thing you could do as a commercial guide through Grand Canyon. And there was a lot less of the sort of bus tour aspects of it that I found running commercial motorboats through there with 17 passengers and, you know, a piece. There's only 4 passengers in a dory.
Huh. Well, tell us a little about Martin Litton. Barbara Boyle of the Sierra Club called him passionate, original, tempestuous, stubborn, charming, obnoxious, courteous, inappropriate, dogged, fiery, and impossibly effective. Does that sum him up, or how would you sum him up, Tim?
I couldn't say it any better than that. That's for sure, though. I could add, you know, probably a couple audacious, curmudgeonly, funny. He spoke in a manner that was as convincing as anyone that I've ever... oratory just poured out of his mouth. It wasn't like he ever had to think about anything. And he had a voice like James Earl Jones. So, you know, he could convince just about anybody if he had enough time of just about anything. And he had a presence about him. Physically, you know, he wasn't what you'd call athletic or anything. He sort of walked with this side-to-side swaying motion like someone that just got off a ship, and he was large but he just had a way about him that you felt that you were in the presence of someone who was a really important character, and that's the way I felt about him every time we met.
And with a list of descriptions like that, what was it like to work for him? You worked extensively. You also managed his operations on the Green, I believe, and Cataract.
Yeah, he was a lousy businessman, really. The company was always on a shoestring. I remember one year at the very last day of the season, he told me we'd been running without car insurance because he just couldn't afford it. And he just thought, oh, this is crazy. But I think maybe he had all the fear wrung out of him as a glider pilot and other experiences that he had in climbing. I mean, he fell one time almost 100 feet, landed in 9 inches of water and got up and walked away. The guy was indestructible. We used to say he had an angel on his shoulders because, you know, he started Grand Canyon Dories, but he sort of started it and then left before anybody really got very good at rowing. And he never really learned how to row all that well himself, but there was an angel on his shoulder, and he could go out there and run Hans Rapid and get to the bottom and have lost both oars and done 4 360s, and he'd just be in fine shape.
It's amazing. And Andy, you were on his last trip. We were talking a little bit about that before the show. The boat he was on didn't quite make it through, but he sure did. And what was he, 87 at the time? And
yeah, I believe Martin was 90. This would have been in 2006, and it was not a commercial trip, a private trip. And at that stage, Martin was basically a rider. His two sons joined him on that trip, who were good boatmen. Probably his younger son, Don, was spent more time boating. His older son, John, was also on the trip, who did the second half. And Kate, my wife, and I had to hike out. So we just met there at Phantom Ranch, you know, at the bottom of the Bright Angel Trail, as we were hiking out to do another trip. But, he made it through okay. This boat that was on loan to him, which his son John was rowing when they pinned it on a rock and then it ultimately sank. It was a very non-poetic ending to this guy's last, quote-unquote, last trip in Grand Canyon. But we did get, you know, the fact that they had a sunken ship, and I think there was some sort of a mutiny that happened on that trip. And, I mean, that's a whole story in of itself, but... what I remember about that trip is we just got to spend time with him, and I got to ask him the question, how did you start Grand Canyon Dories? And he said, well, I never meant to be a businessman or make it a business. It just happened. And he was using the boats, I think, you know, my understanding, he was trying to save the Grand Canyon from dams and his championship with that. And, the boats were just this really elegant way to portray, you know, this seventh natural wonder of the world, the Grand Canyon, for saving it from dams. And that was just one of his missions, one part of his life. But I think, you know, when I think of Martin, I will definitely remember him in regards to the dories and the Grand Canyon and his association with that.
Well, he has a phenomenal legacy, and we're going to have to take a short break here. We'll be back to hear some more about Martin Litton. Stay tuned.
There wasn't enough defense. There weren't enough people who cared. Those who cared didn't really know enough. And so Glen Canyon was lost, and now there's a strong movement to try to bring it back. And Pat Riley, a Grand Canyon expert who died recently, once made a remark that I like to remember. Don't worry about it. In 100,000 years, you'll never know that dam was there. And if we think in terms of the real history of the Earth, we don't worry about dams. We worry a lot about life. We worry about species that we exterminate. We worry about loss of soil and forest and so forth, because it takes millions of years to restore anything like that, if ever. The Colorado River causes me a little less worry when you consider the fate of its canyons, because we know that the dams are temporary. But human use, enjoyment, and inspiration of what those dams have affected, what they have damaged, are things we've lost in our lifetime. We won't see restoration of Glen Canyon. Still, there's a strong, and I think a movement that's even nobler because of that, to go after the restoration of something which we can't utilize when it is restored, because we won't be here. And a movement of that kind that's so far-reaching and looking ahead, as the Glen Canyon Institute does, and the Glen Canyon Action Network, there are two organizations working for it, looking that far ahead seems to me to have a kind of a nobility of purpose. I won't be able to use it. I won't have fun there. I'll never see it, but maybe my descendants will. The glens for which Glen Canyon was named will come back, perhaps. The oaks and so forth that Major Powell was so enthralled by.
Welcome back to the show. That was Martin Litton in an interview with Jack Loeffler. Jack's an oral historian, and he believes that it's best to hear it directly from the horse's mouth. So you can hear more of Jack's work at loreoftheland.org. Well, Martin Litton was quite an activist, and I, you know, we're hearing and seeing a lot of that in these tributes. Andy, you're an activist as well, and involved with groups such as the Grand Canyon River Guides and Dolores River Boating Advocates. Can you speak a little bit about how Litton influenced you and your work?
Sure, absolutely. The more I learned about Martin, you know, the more I decided, you know, I needed to have a mission with the rivers and a way to kind of follow up on my passion of rivers and how they changed my life. And I overheard you and Tim talking earlier when I walked in the studio here about how we need, you know, 10,000 more Martins out there, and He really has had that effect, I think, on river guides and river runners, and I've taken that as far as I can do it. You know, we all have our lives to live and other things going on in our lives, but really, I have based my whole life around the river and the boats that I like to build, and when these opportunities come up, like the Dolores River Boating Advocates, where we are working on more flows, recreational flows, and saving the fish below McPhee Dam, for example, that's one of the missions. But also with Grand Canyon River Guides, there have been a lot of issues with Grand Canyon itself that you can become very passionate about, and I've been on the board of directors there as well, and just trying to do your part. You feel you want to give something back to, you know, the river that has given you so much. So that's been a big, Martin has been a big influence on me, and I think in a very eloquent way. He really brought that to the river. And the Dories have been a big part of that for me and what what Martin introduced there. It just seemed crazy in a period where people were doing the river, running the river in these practical military surplus rafts in the early days to the high-tech gear that we have nowadays, for Martin to revert back to, well, why not wood boats? And so that's been a big part of kind of my river constitution too. And that's really Martin that's kind of the core of that to me. So.
Tell us a little more about that. You said in an interview that I read that the dory saved the Grand Canyon. Is that because of the intimate experience it provides? And Tim was talking about the longer trips and what that offers. Can you just speak a little more to how the dory saved the Grand?
Well, it was really the platform, I think, and the way to present it. The dories are, as Tim was saying, just beautiful on the water, and they row as beautifully as they look. They're a stable vessel. They do great in white water, and you're carrying all this gear for 2 weeks and passengers, and that whole part of the package was really, I don't know if Martin, I don't think he had this big game plan. He just kind of shot from the hip and lived from his passion about it. And when we do trips, when we take folks nowadays, you know, it's just this great podium to speak of the dams when we float past those dam sites in Grand Canyon. And it gets people's juices flowing, you know, I think more so than another venue, say a big giant pontoon raft, or from the rim of the Grand Canyon. You don't really, you know, it's a more organic approach, I guess, in a nutshell.
And Tim, you were talking a little bit about the message that Martin always had, a message, and it's a message we should really remember today about rivers, dams, river ecology. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, Martin was one of the ones that always brought out that the victories of the sort that he was able to accomplish in Grand Canyon are always temporary. There'll always be another threat. And there is one now, actually, in Grand Canyon. They're going to try and build a tramway, as comes up about every decade or so. But I think what Martin's, one of his primary lessons was that you just have to be absolutely courageous in your advocacy for these, for the wild places, because he saw so many of them disappear in his career as a travel writer. He named his boats that he used in Grand Canyon after places that had been lost to development all over the world, Diamond Head. He gave me a boat called the Celilo Falls, which is a cataract on the Columbia that's now behind the Dalles Dam. And he just saw so much of what the best parts of the earth being compromised or destroyed altogether. And in this rush that we have towards making the planet a feedlot for humanity, and it just, to see someone that was unbowed by all of these tremendous pressures that were arrayed against him. I mean, everyone, the government, the Bureau of Reclamation, most of the people in the states that were involved with his fight against dams in Grand Canyon were in full support of the projects. He managed to save them from themselves, because we'd have ruined Grand Canyon for no purpose. There isn't the water to fill any more reservoirs. We can't even keep the ones full that we have now. And his approach to these things were, we have no choice. We just have to keep our heads up, and we have to keep advocating, and we cannot be bowed. And that's how he approached everything.
Thank you. I think we'll end on that note. He was someone I think that we could talk on and on about, but I really appreciate what you've offered here today. Thanks for sharing your time and sharing Martin Litton with us. And he's a legend that I'm sure we'll keep near and dear. Thanks for listening
to
the River Trip today. Thanks for joining us. And please join us next month for more river stories. Check out our website at DoloresRiverBoating.org and our Facebook page. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.